favorite song. And his favorite song is Some Go Crazy. Really? And I didn't know it at the time, but I got someone, I think it was Nancy Snowball, who said, I got her to play it for me. And then I kind of got the gist of it. Nobody, you never hear about a singer, right?
Nope.
This person.
Got a good meaning to it.
Beautiful. That's right. But, you know, back in 50 something, that's around 50. Around 51, 52 when that happened. Uncle Chase,
Some happy day.
Single.
Not no happy day.
I'm going to see him back then. Yes.
Just back to the three happy days.
My dad, right around the corner down here before we used to live. I meant to tell you, you know, your friends don't know about it.
Ready? Here we go now. There was a time when the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way. There was a time when the people of God lived in a godly way. Something's wrong. It's time to turn. Something's wrong. It's time to heed the sound. We need revival. All across the land, we need revival. It's time to take a stand. Let us fall on our knees and pray. And turn from the wicked ways. We need revival. All across the land. Now is the time. And this is the place. We're the one who must make a choice. Now is the time. We dare not hesitate. The people of God must lift their voice. We must be strong in the power of God's name. We must be strong. This darkness needs our lamp. We need revival. All across the land we need. Better fall on our knees and pray. And turn from the wicked way. We need revival all across the land. We need revival all across the land.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord inside here where it's dry. Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page number 243. Page number 243, Victory in Jesus. If we're ever going to experience victory as a Christian, it's going to be through Christ. There's no other way to experience that victory. Now let's stand when we get there. Page number 243.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save us. Like me, I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Praise God! He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power. How He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. With His redeeming blood. Praise God! He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Number three, I heard about a mansion is built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. With His redeeming blood. Praise God! He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank You for this night, Lord, to come to Your house again, Lord, and I do pray, Lord, even though this meeting might be coming to an end tonight, Lord, that You would continue to do that work inside of each and every one of our hearts, Lord. We don't need a certain person here to have a revival, Lord. It's all about You. Lord, it's all about drawing closer to You, Lord. And I do pray You'd help us, Lord, continue to do that and continue with that charge that Brother Denny's gave us, Lord, just to draw closer, Lord, relying on You, relying on Your Word, Lord, staying with You.
Yes.
And not drawing away into this world, Lord. Please forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Thank you for coming tonight. It's good to see everyone.
Really don't have a lot of announcements other than the fact that if you have been waiting, you're about to miss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're waiting to get saved, you're about to miss it. You say, "Preacher, you mean I can't get saved?" No, hold on a second. God's been calling you. You're a fool to wait. Because you can't come unless He's calling. Remember the other day we were talking about Noah, and Brother Danny was preaching about Noah, and the door was shut. Once the door shut, it was God that shut the door. It wasn't Noah.
You're right.
And so if you're waiting and you're saying, "Well, I'm going to wait and wait for a more convenient time," well, that's happened before too, and they waited too long.
Yeah.
Maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved." And you're just waiting to get closer to the Lord. Why not today?
Yeah.
Why not today? And God wants you to. God's calling you closer. And giving you that opportunity. I seen Brother John Ridings is on with us again tonight. Brother Alan Stovall's on as well. And, I'm thankful. We've had some very faithful YouTube watchers. And thankful for that. Thankful for the attendance of everyone coming. And just your faithfulness, church. I appreciate it. Appreciate you keeping in mind. I know we got strings attached. But praise the Lord. Our goal is we're going to have church Sunday. And we're going to have it Wednesday. We're going to have it Sunday. We're going to have it Wednesday. We don't have any shutdowns, all right? I've heard of churches that have just a meeting, just a little bitty meeting. I'm not talking about a revival. I'm talking about a meeting.
Yeah.
And they're only there a few days, and they got shut down for several weeks because of it. I'd rather not do that, amen? And I appreciate your faithfulness and, obedience in that. If you want to call it that your surrender to it, and I appreciate it. And just thankful to have Brother Danny and Sister Pam with us for this time, and of course, well, we're even thankful for Titus. I mean, we already were thankful for Isaac and Lydia coming, but we're thankful for Titus too. Amen. And it's a blessing to get to watch these children grow up as well, and get to see them as they go and grow, and excited to be in the house of God. I mean, we just brought them to a 2-week revival.
Amen.
They tried. Well, they are from Mississippi, but they... I'm not saying that that's bad, Lydia. You mean, are you thinking that that's bad that you're from Mississippi? she's ready for... She's had enough insults about Mississippi, hasn't she, brother? She already knew that the preacher was going to talk smack about Mississippi. Yes, but not originally. I don't think he was originally from there. They needed some help down there, and he said, "You know what? I'll sacrifice."
Yeah.
Amen. 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 But not. That's God's country. Yeah, it's just a lot of grace, doesn't it? That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. So I am thankful to have them with us and watch them grow, and it means a lot to find some children. And I know, you say, "Preacher, they're young adults." Whatever you want to call them, they're younger than I am. We'll just say that. But I'm thankful to see some kids. I was looking out in the sanctuary, and I know we had, I'm not even going to pretend which one it was. I think that was Riley that was making so much noise. Was that Riley making all the noise? Is he in the blue? Yep, yep. Hey, preacher's getting better, amen. And he was just a having a time. Hallelujah fit. Amen. It's all right to come to the house of God and have a hallelujah fit. And kids don't bother me. They don't bother me at all. You say, "Preacher, how can you preach? I don't even hear them most of the time." Amen. And if you aren't saying something, praise the Lord, they are. Amen. Amen. So it's just good to have them all. Amen. And not a better place to raise them than right here. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah, I know we all kind of get tickled at him singing, and he can sing louder than any of us, or will sing louder than any of us. Amen. But I want you to realize he was right here. He started out young, just right here in the pew. That's where we put him. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. All right, Brother James, you want to sing Arise?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's do it. All right, Titus, I'll put you out.
I got my motor warmed up
already. Amen.
Page number 118. 118, those that have the fire books. Well, Cammie's sung this song. Good Christian group. Down the streets of Jerusalem.
Jerusalem came a funeral procession. Up the same lonely street came the resurrection. They mourned the loss of a loved one, but when Jesus saw their grief, he laid his hand upon him, and death had to flee. Arise, arise, my little ones, arise. Arise, arise, wipe the sleep from your eyes. I am the resurrection, and I give unto you life. Arise, arise, my little ones, arise. Down the streets of glory, someday I'm gonna stroll. In the land of milk and honey, where the saints will never grow old. When Jesus comes back for us on that resurrection day. In my heart I'm so excited, I can almost hear him say, arise, arise, my little ones, arise. Arise, arise, wipe the sleep from your eyes. I am the resurrection, and I give unto you life. Arise, arise, my little ones, arise.
Let's do that last verse one more time.
Down the streets of glory, someday I'm gonna stroll. In the land of milk and honey, where the saints will never grow old. When Jesus comes back for us on that resurrection day. In my heart I'm so excited, I can almost hear him say, arise, arise, my little ones, arise. Arise, arise, wipe sleep from your eyes. I am the resurrection, and I give unto you life. Arise, arise, my little ones, arise. And I am the resurrection, and I give unto you life. Arise, arise, my little ones, arise.
Amen. Let's all take our hymn books and turn to page number 55. When the roll is called up yonder. I like this song because this, you can take possession of this song. If you know you're born again, you can take it and
amen.
You can say it with power.
Amen.
So when the roll is called up yonder, I will be there.
That's right.
Amen. 55. When we get there, let's stand, please.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saints on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, when the roll bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun.
Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. When all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Titus, you ready? Now, Brother Danny, Jacob's not here, so I'll be in the sound room, all right? So I'll come running up.
Who is refreshing as an ocean in the desert, as lovely as a flower in the snow? And who is as watchful as an eagle o'er her young ones, as gentle as a summer breeze that blows? Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon, there's peace and triumph when you speak His name. Loving Savior, He's my sunshine in the midnight. He's my guiding star that shineth all the day.
And who is the one who understands my burden? And He just smiles and hums a happy melody. The liberated soul can't sing about being bound for long without looking back and realizing He set me free.
Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon, there's peace and triumph when you speak His name. Loving Savior, He's my sunshine in the midnight. He's my guiding star that shineth all the day. Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon, there's peace and triumph when you speak His name. Loving Savior, He's my sunshine in the midnight. He's my guiding star that shineth all the day. He's my guiding star that shineth all the day. The day.
seen, but I know He knows what's best for me. In His time, there's victory for me. Just like Job, in ashes he sat. Sores on his body, he lost all he had. His wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" But Job was firm in the things he replied. In his time, there's victory for me. Earth's beauty we share is so great to behold. From each fallen raindrop to the lilies below. Then springtime passes as winter unfolds. But death brings new life. In the Bible we're told, in His time, there's victory for me. No one knows what the Lord foresees, but I know He knows what's best for me. In His time, there's victory for me. Yes, in His time, oh, in His time, there's victory for me.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, good spirit. Good spirit in the service. It has been for the 2 weeks, and I know it has been prior to that all the time, because this don't just happen. Amen. So we praise the Lord for His goodness and mercy. Good to see you again tonight. And well, I tell you, we got kind of, we've just enjoyed it, and appreciate you taking care of us. As you always do, every time we've come this way, y'all have always more than taken care of us, and we appreciate it so very much. I appreciate the pastor's wife, and I know some of you helped out in different areas, and I don't know it all, but although I'd like to try to convince you that I do, but I do not, but I appreciate you for preparing meals for us and taking care of us, Pastor and Sister Pastor, amen. Yes, y'all come on in, and we're glad to see you tonight. Amen. Always good to see folks come in the house of God. Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Job. Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. I do want to thank you for having us as in as your evangelist this week. And thank you for having Miss Pam and I. But thank you for allowing our grandchildren to come and be with us. And it's a special time for us, and we thank you. Thank you all for taking care of them and for all the gestures you've made toward them of love. Amen. Even the picking and the grinning, amen, is because of love. And we know that, and we appreciate it so very much. I've made mention that we go back a lot of times to churches that had us in when we were younger. And when our children were younger, before they ever got married. And then I always thank the churches because they helped us bring up our children, because our children would come and to the church wherever we were at preaching, and they would we'd always go to the Sunday school. And so the Sunday school teachers helped us raise our children. Amen? And now you folks are helping us raise our grandchildren. So thank you. Appreciate that. And God's got some blessings for you. Amen. He's got some blessings for you. It's not in vain, and it's not just, well, you know, we just wanted to take care of them. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. We rejoice over that. In the book of Job, chapter number 1 and verse number 6, if you'll stand with us tonight, we'll read a few verses and then get started. In Job chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Where or whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man." This is not sinless perfection. It's a point of maturity in his life as a Christian. He's no longer that little baby in Christ, but now he's been fed by the meat of the Word of God and he has grown. Amen? And in that sense, he's perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Shuns evil, avoids evil. Amen? That's what that simply means. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." You notice there in the first part of verse 10, he says, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" We want to preach about that hedge tonight that God's got around us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, dear Lord, for a wonderful 2 weeks, Lord. God, I know this. I may not be running the aisles and shouting and all that, Lord. God, but I have experienced revival these 2 weeks. Lord, you've met with me. You've blessed me. Lord, you have fed me. Dear God, we don't really get it, I don't think, Lord, how important the Word of God is. And these 2 weeks you've fed me. Lord, we usually get fed Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. And then, Lord, if we read our Bible and study, we've got an opportunity to be fed that way every night or every day of the week, every morning, whatever. But, Lord, these 2 weeks, you've chose to bring us to the restaurant, to the church of God, the house of God. Lord, you brought us in that we might be fed your Word. You talk about the preaching of the Word. Lord, we preach about the preaching of the Word. Lord, it is so important. And we've had 2 weeks of it, Lord. God, I'm not bragging on my preaching, Lord. If my preaching done anything, it was a mistake. Because, Lord, it's not my preaching. It's your Word. Your Word. Lord, as people say to us, "Oh, I enjoyed that." God, we try to just say it back to them, yet we've got some good material. Lord, we certainly do tonight. And we thank you, God, for your Word that you've given us. And then, Lord, for putting us into the ministry, calling us to preach, and giving us places to preach. Lord, thank you so much. I pray now tonight that you'll help us, Lord. God, I pray that you'll speak to hearts of men and women, boys and girls, that we'll be drawn closer as Christians. And then, Lord, as lost people, I pray they'll be drawn to this place of salvation tonight. Lord, we need your help. Help us in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We look here again in Job as the scriptures that we read. If you read the verse or chapter number 1, we always ask him the question, why does God allow evil things to come into good people's lives? I'm asked that all the time. People always want to know, and we wonder, we scratch our head, but boy, it seems like I serve the Lord and God is blessing me, and then all of a sudden something bad happens in my life. Why? If we'll read our Bible, it's got an answer. Yes. Right here's an answer. Did you know that? Right. You see, the devil, God was blessing the man called Job and his family. Good things were happening. And the devil comes along and the devil begins to look and he brings it to the Lord's attention. Not that the Lord wasn't aware of it. Right. God knows all things. Right. But the devil stuck his nose in on this thing. And he said, the only reason you're getting that Job is getting blessed is because you've got a hedge about him and you're not letting any mean stuff happen in his life. You're watching over him where nothing wicked could come about. You're you're taking close care of him where bad times can't happen in his life. So he brings this up to God. And he's saying, if it weren't for that, Job wouldn't be living for you. You know what the book of Job does? It answers the question we ask, why does God allow bad things to happen? Why? Because if everything was good, my friend, the devil could use that against us. That's what he was using against Job. Amen? And so God allows bad things to happen in our life to prove to the devil and the world, my friend, that we've got a God that even though we go through the rough times, He's still with us. And hey, listen, and we don't just fall down and quit every time some hardship comes in our life. That's the reason God allows bad things to happen in our life. To prove to the devil that God's real. Amen. And to prove to the world as they're looking and they see the good things happen in our life, then all of a sudden we hit a bumpy road, my friend. It's proof to them that we just keep on going down that road. Amen. God answers our questions if we'll just let Him in His Word. And God begins to speak, and then the devil seems like he's always coming back on something, and he said, you've put a hedge about him. You've got a hedge about him. And the Bible tells us this, that God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter. He doesn't hold one above the other, my friend. And because God said that, I believe I'm at liberty to say this, my friend. If Job had a hedge about him, and the Bible says that he did, if Job had a hedge about him, you and I do too.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Listen to me. We've got a hedge about us.
Yeah.
We ought to praise the Lord. You say, but Brother Denny, if there's that hedge, how come bad things happen? Because, just like in Job's life, we're going to find where God lowered that hedge and let the devil in just for a little while. And then he told him, you can only do certain things, but you can't go beyond this point. Folks, God's promised us that He'd take care of us. He's promised us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? It doesn't matter how low the hedge gets. It doesn't matter what all the devil brings in our life. I've still got eternal life with Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm still going to heaven. It matters not how bad. Hey, listen. Oh, I talked with a young man today. He called me today and was talking with me from Ohio. And his father had died just a week ago. He died with the COVID. Had a stroke, a brain stroke, and then the COVID set in on him, and he was sharing that with me. And then I had another man to call me, Brother Obie, called yesterday or today, this morning. Another man from up above Atlanta, Georgia. He called me and talked with me. Has a brother down around Jacksonville, Florida, and he has the COVID. He's in the hospital, and the doctors have already told the family he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. His lungs have collapsed. They can't do anything for him. I mean, his kidneys have already shut down. Just different things happening because of the medication they're treating him with. And they said there's nothing more we can do. Everything we do, it seems like it makes matters worse. He said, what are you telling us about that for? Listen to me. Even though, and this young, this man that I just shared with you, that it lives down around Jacksonville, Florida, I know him. And he's a godly man. He's played the guitar, Brother James, and he sang in their church when he was able. Amen. He would sing special. I'm talking about a godly man that served the Lord, taught a Sunday school class. I mean, just did everything that he could to serve the Lord. You say, well, yeah. See, there's a good example. Oh, he is. That's a good example. Do you realize he went through heartaches all through his life before the COVID ever got him, my friend? And yet he still served the Lord. And you know what he's doing now? He's still serving the Lord, gasping for breath. He's still serving the Lord. See, the devil can bring about hard times in his life, my friend, but the truth is there's a hedge about him. The devil can only do certain things in his life. And God says, after a while, God says, enough!
Right. Yeah.
And He will either lift that hedge up. I remember times as pastoring, my friend, we would go through a rough time at the church, and churches have rough times, amen? Why? Because they're made up of people like you and I that have rough times. Amen? And boy, we'd go through some rough times. I remember one especially. Had a man in the church, and we had a men's meeting, my friend, and one man stood up, and here was the suggestion he had for the church. Well, to just throw Brother Danny's furniture, go down there to the parsonage and throw their furniture out in the yard and just tell them to leave. You say, what did you do? I didn't do anything. My friend, listen to me. People can be so mean sometimes. I mean, a rage hits and they're so mean. But you know what? Listen to me. We were going through a rough time. Our family was going through a rough time. Our children were still at home and they were young. And it was hurting our family. And you know what I did? I just stole away and prayed. And I prayed and I said, God, I know about that hedge. I did. I said, I know about that hedge. Lord, you've lowered it down. And it's not that you're not taking care of me, for you are. But I don't like to see my wife hurt. And I don't like to see my children hurt. God, would you please, if it be your will, I'm going to serve you whether you do or not, but if it be your will, would you raise that hedge again? You know what God did? He snuffed that stuff out and raised that hedge up. That's my God. Amen. That's my God. You say, well, boy, if He really loved you. No, it's not if He really, He really loves me. And He did that, and He allowed, you know why? Now I've got my own testimony of how God can take care of us in dire situations. Amen. How that He keeps that hedge there. And all the devil thinks he's got freedom to do whatever he wants to, but he does not. He'll tell us that, but he does not. Amen. I mean, listen, folks, he tries to kill folks. That's the reason a lot of times they'll say they're at the point of death, and then that person lives and comes out of the hospital. Amen. I mean, walks out of the hospital, walks in their house. Amen. Why? To prove to the devil that he doesn't have final authority. Amen. Wonderful hedge. That is a wonderful hedge. I get to thinking about it. I remember years ago when I was a little bitty feller, and living up in Alabama, over in Alabama, and I remember going to our grandparents' house, and my life has been without grandparents and without a father. My dad died when I was 5 years old. My grandparents all died before I was probably 8 years old. But I do remember going as a little fella, and especially at Thanksgiving and Christmas time. And we'd go and play in their yard, and they had, we were talking about several years back now, and they had, at their house, they had a hedge out around the front yard. Used to, about everybody had it that way. Now, they used to even, some of you ain't going to get this, but they used to even sweep the yard. Any of you testify to that? Amen? I'm not the only liar in the bunch. It's the truth. They'd sweep the yard. I mean, some people would not let one sprig of grass grow in their yard. They kept it swept. It's the truth. They didn't have lawnmowers. Well, they did, but we called them goats. Amen. But they would keep that yard swept. I remember our grandparents, they had a hedge. Let's say the house is sitting here. They had a hedge that came down this way. Well, it would start about 4 or 5 feet from the corner of the house here, and then it would go way on out to the road out there, and then it would cut across and go, and then right in the middle would be an archway, the hedges. The hedges were there, and it grew up in an archway, and it went on over, and then that hedge turned and came till it came about within about 4 or 5 feet of the house again. We used to get out there and play chase. Tag, you're it. We'd play around that. We could play all day long. Well, we found out every one of us were hard-headed. Yet we had to find, every one of us had to find out for ourselves. If it's a real good hedgerow, you don't run through it. You can run into it, but you can't run through it. Amen? One day we were out there, and man, we was playing tag. You're it. And boy, we'd turn and we'd run. And these were our outs and ins that I described to you. My brother was always a smart aleck. He was always one of those that he knew better. Well, one day he was going to run through that hedgerow. He run into it. And about this time he went out the other side. I'd never seen it happen. But he's running out the other side. He runs through that hedge and out the other side. He's a hollering and screaming. Looks like a charismatic. Hands are flying. And boy, he's a screaming. He's a carrying on. Hands up in the air. There's a red wasp nest in that thing. He got through, but he had some help. Amen. Amen. That was a hedge. And you know what? It was not one bush that started. It wasn't one bush. It was many bushes that made up that hedge. Amen. There's many things that make up the hedge about us. Can I share some things with you tonight? My friend, listen, I think, first of all, behind me. Amen. The hedge that is behind me. Romans 8:31 says this, if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. He's for me. He's behind me. He's backing me. He's the one, my encourager, says, go on, boy, I got you back. Go on, boy, I got you back. Go on, I'll take care of you. Amen. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about this life. Don't worry about the things of this world. Just go on for me and I'll take care of you. Yeah, it's God that's behind me. The Bible tells us in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse number 5 that God faileth not. Boy, if you're going to have somebody to back you, you better get somebody that's good. You don't want somebody that at the time the trouble is on every side and you think, well, I need some. I was going to ask for help. But the one I thought was going to stand with me and for me is gone. You better make sure you got the right one to take care of you back. I got the right one. He faileth not. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Every time I've looked, He's been there. Every time I've needed Him, He's been there. Sometimes He's there, He don't do a thing. Now listen to me. Sometimes He don't do a thing, He's just there. You say, well, what good is that? Oh, it's a lot of good to have somebody that you can count on, my friend, that will always be there. And they don't have to always do something. Just be there. Thank God. We've got a hedge about us, amen. And this is, it's made up of someone that's behind us, God, amen. If you were to turn, we won't turn there, but Psalms chapter 139, the entirety of that Psalms, my friend, it talks about He knows us. The kids sing a song, He knows my name. Amen. The Bible there says that we're fearfully and wondrously made. Amen. And it tells us that God knew our substance, in other words, us, before we were ever finished in Him, complete in Him. God knew all about us. Before we were ever born, we were in our mother's womb, God knew about us. He had a record, the Bible says, about us. And He takes care of us. Amen? I'm telling you, you can count on God. Amen. And then I think not only is God behind me, my friend, but beneath me is Jesus Christ. You say, beneath you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11, the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's our foundation. Amen. He's the one that we stand upon, excuse me. Amen. That stability that you and I have, it comes from the foundation, amen? If you've got a weak foundation, it don't matter how strong the rest of the house is. Amen. The foundation is the most important part of the house. Amen. And you know who our foundation is? Jesus Christ. Amen. He's that solid rock. Amen. He's that solid rock which we stand on, which we serve and with joy, amen, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, we serve our Savior, amen. My friend, I'm telling you, we've got a hedge about us. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 13 says, I can do all things, but it doesn't stop there. You know why? Because you and I can't do all things. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's my foundation tonight. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight? Praise God, it's not just you living in this world all by yourself. I know there are millions of other people, but I'm talking about there's someone else there too, my friend. Besides the millions of people, there's someone that cares about you. My friend, I mean they got you back. There's someone, my friend, that you can base your life upon and you don't have to worry. March the 27th of 1969, on a Thursday night at Calvary Baptist Church in Hartsville, Alabama, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. My friend, He became my foundation. I placed my life in Him and began to stand upon Him. And my friend, He's never wavered. I've never felt a tremor. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, my friend, listen, He's sure. He's sure. He tells us to be sure and steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that you know that your labor be not in vain. I'm telling you what, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus that the kids was singing about a while ago. Amen. That's my Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God for a foundation, my friend. That's what this church is built upon. It's not the blocks out there and the bricks out there. Hey, this building can crumble. But I'm going to tell you, there's one called Jesus. He'll never crumble. The hurricanes don't bother Him. My friend, listen, it doesn't matter what hits. It doesn't destroy Him. We never have to go and shore that foundation up.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you, it's wonderful tonight. The old devil wants us to think, oh, we better be scared. We ought to be running. We ought to be hiding. We better go home. Amen. Lock the doors and say, nobody come near, or we're quarantined.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm glad that's not the kind of God I've got. Excuse me. I'm not putting you down. I'm just making a statement.
Right.
I've got a God. I've got a Savior. My friend, I don't have to be afraid of what the devil can do.
Right.
I don't have to be afraid of what the Democrats nor the Republicans can do.
Right.
Amen. I mean, they can all fight all they want to, but bless God, I can have sweet peace in my soul. Amen. Why? Because of the foundation that we're on tonight. It's not the Baptists, amen. Boy, I see them where they're trembling. Hey, it's not any certain group, my friend, but it's those that are living on Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Not only that, my friend, but I look before me. There's the Word of God. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Right.
Well, the Word of God goes before us, lighting up our way. Amen?
Yes.
You ever come in life, you ever come to a situation where you say, which way do I go?
Right.
If you'll just pray about it and let God show you,
right. The
light will come on.
And
you'll be able to maneuver through this old world, through all the wickedness that the world's got, through all the junk that they want to put us through and drag us through all the lies they want to put on us and make us feel like, listen to me, we need to just get over in the corner and shut up.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad. Praise God. Boy, I like it when somebody's got nerve enough to holler, Amen!
Amen?
Hey, give me this. That's an amen.
That's right.
Amen. I'm telling you tonight. Praise God. We got something to shout about. We're not to be pouting. We're to be shouting.
Right.
Too many of us are pouting tonight.
Yeah.
But you don't understand. No, I understand. I think it's you that are misunderstanding.
Right.
You think Jesus died for us so that we might complain all the time? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I know not, because, listen, He never complained.
Right.
Not once.
Right.
He never complained. Well, listen to me. Before us is the Word of God, my friend. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 says, All Scripture, I like that.
Yeah.
It says, All Scripture, that means all of it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction.
Right.
Amen. The Word of God. Oh, I'm thankful that it's before me, my friend. I'm not trying to catch up to it, amen. It's right there before me to lead me through the problems and the trials of life, amen. I mean, it lightens my way. You see folks that are falling, they're getting tripped up, and you say, how you know? Because they tell me that. Oh, Brother Danny, I just get tripped up every once in a while. I just fall sometimes, you know, and here they go. Listen to me. The light in our life keeps us from doing that.
Right. Yes, sir.
He points out every little pitfall.
Yes.
I mean, the light will point out every little gravel that gets in our way
right.
So we can't stumble over
right.
it. Amen.
Yes. Right.
We preached it, I believe it was last night. He'll keep us from sin. The Word will keep us from sin.
Right.
I mean, you want to live a victorious life? You got to get in the Bible. Because it shows you the way to be being victorious.
Right.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
It's not just, well, I go to church. Yes. There's more to it than just going to church.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
There's too many just going to church.
Right. Yes.
And they're trusting in that just going to
right.
church.
Right.
And they're still having... Excuse me, and I'm not cussing, but they're still having hell in their life every day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want a little heaven in my life.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, there's an old song that says, Lord, I need a little heaven to go to heaven in. Amen. And every once in a while, this old boy needs a little heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. And every once in a while, God gives me a little heaven. Amen. I mean, folks, He knows how to help us tonight.
Yes.
Praise God. There's that Word that is before us, my friend. Then within me is the Holy Spirit. John chapter number 14, verse number 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Word of God, or the Holy Spirit. I mean, He's there. He's that one that dwells in here. He's that one that speaks ever so gently to us. Amen. He's that one that pulls us up close and hugs us. He's that one that will strap our legs if we ain't
right.
careful.
Right.
What are you saying? Correct us.
Yes.
Amen. Whoa,
right.
What a hedge we've got around it. Do you realize who you are tonight?
Yes.
You're loved in the Beloved.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, God loves you because of what His Son did for you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And He puts a hedge about us. I mean that the devil, listen to me, until God lowered that hedge, you don't find any wicked thing happening, any bad thing happening in Job's life. No negative nothing happened in Job's life until you read about the hedge being taken down for a while. But let me say this because I'll probably forget it here in a few minutes. But the end of the story, if you call it the end, my friend, it turns out Job was better off than what it started out with. It's like God pays us for faithfulness.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, as a matter of fact, there is a payday someday. Amen. I'm just telling you, there's a hedge about us, my friend. And you can't run through it. You can't run out of it.
Right.
Oh, no, 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 my friend. Thank God it's there for our protection. And though it might seem like to you tonight, man, that hedge is hitting rock bottom. It's all the way down. There ain't nothing up here. Listen, God still got you. God still got you. He never forsook Job.
Right.
He never left Job out fast under by himself.
Right.
He never put him in the devil's hands. He never did put him in the devil's hands. Amen. But He never put him in His hands and walked off and left and said, now you do what you want to. And He never told him you can do what you want with Him.
Right.
He told him what only He could do.
Right.
Amen. We ought to be rejoicing
yes.
tonight.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. I mean, how wonderful it is. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, within us is the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9 says, if you don't have the Spirit, you have not Christ.
Right. Right.
Amen. Amen. Not only that, but my friend, around me. I mean, around we've talked about behind us is God. Beneath us is Jesus Christ. Before us is the Word of God. Within us is the Holy Spirit. Around us are angels.
Right. Right.
Now, I'm not an angel worshiper.
Right.
God never told us to worship the angels. As a matter of fact, He teaches us not to. Amen. I'm not an angel worshiper. However, God did assign angels to take care. The Bible says this. Let me give it to you right quick. Figure out which one I got written down here. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, "Are they not all ministers?" He's talking about angels. Look it up now. Are they not all ministers, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are here not for me to fall down before and worship, but for, to give aid to me, to help me. Amen? Well, sometimes I've wondered about someone. I thought it was someone. It popped up, and all of a sudden, they're gone. You say, "Oh, you one of them? I sure am." Bible says, be careful how you entertain them, because sometimes we entertain angels. We entertain them unaware. Amen. God let some of them take care of them. You ever just about have a wreck and wonder how it didn't happen? I could tell you stories of being out on the road. Amen. Driving a full-size conversion van, pulling the trailer loaded with our car and with our clothes and singing equipment when we used to sing and go and preach meetings. My friend, listen, I could tell you stories about how that we just almost have a wreck. I mean, it was impossible to miss whatever was about to happen, but we did. I've often thought that I figure angels, you can spot them usually by the tennis shoes they wear. You say, what? Well, boy, I've seen it where it looked like we're going to hit somebody. And all of a sudden, it's like, I figure it's that angel on the fender out there. But all of a sudden, just put that Reebok out there and act as a cushion. Well, I don't have a better explanation. Amen. Had you ever almost had a wreck, but you didn't? Or maybe had a wreck and you say, well, I don't know how I came out of that alive. You ever thought about an angel taking care of you? Huh? God says it. He says it. He's assigned them to take care of us. Amen. Well, this old devil tries to get at us and gnaw at us and bite at us and claw at us, my friend. Hey, God will just put an angel in our path, my friend, and we'll meet up with him, and all of a sudden the devil's got to back off.
Right,
yeah. Amen. I'm preaching Scripture.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm telling you, folks, it's not a hopeless situation. The world, for the world, it is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, they have no hope. They had no hope in the present. President that we have, and I guess he's still president, I don't know, but the world never had hope in him, and they don't have hope in the one that we're getting. Amen. Why? Because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. We're trusting in a God that is able to take care of us. He created all things, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God created everything. He's in control today of everything. He's not losing control. Let me tell you something. They'll never impeach my Jesus. He's got a throne that no one else will ever sit on. Even though the devil has promised in His Word, we read it the other night, he's going to sit on that throne, my friend. He thinks he's going to rule and reign, but he's not.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Amen. Thank God. I'm not telling you I sure hope. I'm telling you I sure know. Because
yeah.
The Bible tells me so.
Yes.
It's never lied to anyone.
Right.
It's never been wrong, not the Word of God. Around us are angels. The Bible says in Psalms 91 and verse 11, "For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways."
Yes.
Hallelujah. In the New Testament, in the occasions where Jesus was facing the devil the devil was facing Jesus with temptation, Jesus uses this very scripture, my friend, to turn the devil.
Right.
Amen. And you know what? It's still in the book.
Right. Yeah.
I rejoice when I read my Bible and find out it's still in there. It doesn't change from day to day. Oh, they can come up with all these new versions and all that that change constantly.
Yeah.
Amen. But I'm telling you, there's one that's called the original manuscript.
Right.
And what I mean by that, it's the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And it never changes.
Right.
Always the same. It always reads the same.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. What does that mean? I know in the other Bible I had, it meant something else. But in this Bible, oh, no, no, God's Word never changes. Never changes around me or angels. Well, we think about that. We used Paul and Silas a little bit last night, remember? They were in jail. Isn't it something how they got out of there? Well, an angel set them free, amen, by an earthquake. Amen. Then we talked about Paul, remember? How Paul was in that jail and he was bound and the angel came in and all of a sudden the chains just fell off. The angel touched him and said, come on, let's go, boy. And he got up and began to walk out and the gates began to open up. Remember? Angel of the Lord. The Bible even tells us it was an angel. You don't have to use your imagination. Amen. Taking care of us. Taking care. I'm taking care of, amen. I got the best retirement plan there is.
Right. Yeah.
I got the very best. God said He'd take care of me.
Right.
Amen. If Social Security runs out, I'm not worried.
Right.
Well, you must have a lot of money. I got all the money I need.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
I mean it. It's not in a bank anywhere. Oh, you've got some investments. Well, you got it now. You caught me. You do. But they're all in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you check now. If you say tonight, boy, Brother Danny, if you don't come up with $10,000, you're going to die before daylight. I want to say this to y'all. Bye. Because
yeah.
I'm a-going.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have the money.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, well, and you're bragging on God about, yeah, because if I really need it before daylight, there'll be $10,000 show up.
Yeah, right.
One of you may have to get off of it. Amen. But it'll show up. I already know that for a fact. There's already been needs. God's met every one of them. I'm not worried. Hey, he fed old Elijah with an old raven.
Amen.
Listen to me. You say, yeah, but you ain't Elijah. No, but I've got the same God.
That's right.
And it wasn't Elijah that fed himself with the ravens. God sent the ravens in.
Right, yeah.
Amen. And then made them turn loose the biscuit and the steak. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen.
Amen.
Oh, take that, Mr. Devil.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to be a punching every once in a while. Praise God. Now, I get to thinking about this. Let me go over it again right quick because we're just about through. Amen. We don't have a cartoon to show or nothing like that. So we need to finish the message. Amen. Behind me is God. We're talking about a hedge that's made up around, I'm going to say, around me. Now, you can put me as you in there and you will be the me.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
There's a hedge around you.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, right.
Hey. Do this with me, Brother Scooter. Amen. Man, that old, praising God. Surely us young folks can.
Sure.
Miss Scooter. I know, but I'd rather call her Miss Scooter. Do this. Praise the Lord. Now, a lady that young, that do you good? A lady that young, praising the Lord, didn't hurt none. We ought to be a praising God tonight. The only reason you shouldn't do that is if you've got problems with your shoulder and you can't get them up. But you might want to try this. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, if he bled and died on Calvary for me, and I can't twitch for him, you say, what good would that do? Oh, I don't know. I got blessed. Jeremiah up here hollering, amen. Bless my heart. I mean, it's more than fun. It's more than funny. I believe God in heaven is pleased.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. If that little fellow just keep on doing that, my friend, listen to me.
Yeah.
God will keep on blessing him.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm telling you. Listen, behind me is God. Beneath me is Jesus Christ. Before me is the Word of God. In me is the Holy Spirit. Around me are angels. Have you noticed there's only one direction that's left? Above me. Above, that's the only place I hadn't mentioned a hedge.
Yeah.
There's a hedge there.
Yeah.
Above me, amen. It's called heaven.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, every once in a while, well, as a matter of fact, let me back up just a little bit. Just in the month of December, I had three preacher friends that were very close friends of mine. to my whole family, as a matter of fact. Very close friends. And each one of them, God called home. I'm not sad. I'm tickled for them. Because they'd lived their life, they'd preached the Word of God, faithful to God. Boy, I tell you, when it came time to check out, that's what they did. They just checked out and moved on to glory land. Amen. Down through the years, I've lost preacher friends. I've been preaching for 50, almost 51 years now. I've been preaching the Word of God. And over those years, I've acquired some good friends. Amen. I count your pastor as one of my dearest friends. Amen. I'm serious. He's one of my friends. Oh, listen, but those that have done passed on and gone home to be with the Lord, my friend, you know what? Every once in a while, when I get down and I think, dear Lord, I've about had enough down here. I'm getting to that age where you get tired of the junk. Young people, they don't know how bad it really is. I'm being honest. I'm not saying they're dumb or stupid. I'm just saying they're young people. Amen? Well, I used to not shout over heaven. Even when I got saved, I'm being honest with you, it wasn't, wow, man, I can't hardly wait to get home and be with my Jesus. Amen. I mean, I was young. I thought, I'm going to see Him one day, that's going to be good, but I got plenty of time. Now I ain't got plenty of time. I mean, even if the rapture don't happen yet, if our government doesn't kill me, amen. I mean, if no one else goes wacky and comes in and shoots me, amen, I'm still going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah.
You say, well, you shouldn't talk like that. Okay, I'll never die. I'm going to live forever. Now, I'm a liar. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die.
Right.
And I know that's true. You know why? I just told you about my preacher friends that have been dying off.
Yeah.
But so I go through the valleys. Just like you do.
Sure.
And sometimes I think, dear Lord, man, you go to a church and you preach the gospel, I mean the Word of God to them, and you go back the next year to preach to them, and they get huffy and puffy about what you're preaching. You preach the same thing you did last year. I'm not talking about verbatim, the words and everything. You know what I'm saying. I'm still preaching the old Bible. Amen? And they won't accept it. They don't like it. I get tired of that, trying to help folks out and point them to Jesus and point them to the hedge, amen?
Right. Yeah, right.
And it seems like they don't want to hear it. Do you know how encouraging it is to sit and watch some of you? I'm serious. Now, I know you got an excuse. That's what makes it worse. Your excuse is even worse than your attitude. But can you imagine? I wish you'd follow us and go from one church to the next like we do. You go into one church, and they're hollering, amen.
Right.
I mean, they got a smile on their face. Like y'all.
Right.
I mean, oh, it's us. Huh? Yeah, like y'all. You enjoy serving God.
Yeah.
But the next one we go to may not. I mean, I'm serious.
Right.
Boy, they just... I don't know even why they would have us back in, but they do. And I thank God, boy, I just figure it's God meeting our needs. And He'll use the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Oh, this is on. We're live. And all of you other great churches, too. He will. He'll use the devil. He's done it before.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't worry about it. I'll be all right. Now I'm getting in one of those spots where I was talking about. Get a little bit discouraged. God, pick it back up. I'm out here all alone in the front yard and the red walls are everywhere. Pick up the head. Amen. No, but listen. Well, you get discouraged. And you think, dear Lord, I love my family and I don't want to leave them behind. But I'm about ready to go home.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we're praying. We've done this ever since we got married. We're praying that either the rapture happens or we both get taken out together.
Yeah.
And it don't always work that way, and I know it doesn't. And it'll be all right. For He'll still be here for the one,
right,
and He'll be gone with the other.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Amen.
That's right. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I get a little weary. And so God gives me an inspiration of thinking of those that have gone on.
That's right.
I think a dear little lady, member of our church, when I pastored for 24 years, I was her pastor, and she passed away during that time. She had to be close to 100 years old, Mrs. McLaughlin. Had to be close to 100 years old when she passed. But, boy, I remember going and visiting her. And she was a little old lady that had arthritis real bad. Those fingers were turned in one other direction. You know how they are. In both hands. And she couldn't get around hardly. She had this, when we went, she had that little three-pronged walker, you know. She put that down and get around. Then she got worse as time went on. And she got one of them wraparounds. Get that thing out there and then walk to it. She didn't make it to church on Sunday mornings. She'd get up about 5 o'clock and start getting ready to come to church. And it'd take her all morning and all afternoon. You say, why? Because of her arthritis was so bad. She lived by herself. And she'd have to work a little bit of getting ready. And then she'd have to sit down a while. And then she'd work a little bit. She'd come every Sunday night. If it was raining, she came to church on Sunday night. If it was sleeting and snowing, she came to church on Sunday night. If it was 96 degrees, she came to church on Sunday night. She came to church all the time. She kept getting worse. Finally, they would unload her out there and out of the car that a couple would pick her up. They would have put her in a wheelchair and they'd roll her in and they'd roll her right up here and they'd help her get out and she'd sit down in that pew. Boy, she'd have a time in service. Then she got even worse than that. She couldn't stand for them to handle her. And it hurt her so bad. So they just bring her in. And I do not know, I've often wondered this about people, why they locked the wheels. She wasn't going nowhere anyway.
Yeah.
But they locked the wheels on that thing. She sat there. One night, we was having a hallelujah time. I mean, church was just shouting and praising God. We do that. And the church was a shouting and a praising the Lamb of God. Folks was a testifying. Ms. McLaughlin, she raised that little hand up. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, Brother Long, she called me that because that was my name. She said, yeah, amen. Sharp little lady. Some of them didn't get it. Amen. But she said, Brother Long, I feel like I could shout. I said, go ahead, sister. She went, so, you know what that did? Whoosh! With the kerosene. Just poured it right on the fire. Woo! You say, what are you saying? It just lit the place up. Boy, I just could imagine that night when she said, Brother Long, I feel like I could shout. God said, everybody in heaven, quiet it down. They called her Prissy because she was just a perfect granny lady. And I figured that Jesus said, everybody, quieten down. Miss Prissy's fixing to praise my name. Listen to her. She'll show you how it's done. I figured then God said, now turn loose. Wow! You hear Miss Prissy testify? Amen. I know this. Cross Baptist Church in Moody, Alabama was a shouting that night. Amen. Praising the Lamb of God. I've said it. You don't have to. No need to get mad about this thing. You don't have to.
Right.
But you can.
Amen.
But you can. Don't get mad at. I won't get mad at you for not shouting if you don't get mad at me for shouting.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. There ain't no need in it, my friend. There just ain't no need in it.
Right.
Boy, above me is heaven. I think of those saints that have gone on to be with the Lord. But then I have to think of that one.
Yeah.
That bled and died for.
Right.
Yes, I know. But bled and died for me.
Yes.
Amen. Boy, I get to thinking about him and I think, Lord, don't worry about me because I'll stay down here and I'll serve you and I'll worship you as long as I can.